And may I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I've got a rather ambitious attempt in my sermon today. I'm going to try to do two things today. So first of all, I want to talk about the terrible earthquake in Turkey and Syria. And I want to make a connection between the very long first reading. Didn't realize how long it was. The first reading about the first story of creation and the earthquake. And then I also want to, it's very loud this, isn't it? I also want to connect that same creation story with Jesus' advice, more than advice, encouragement, not to worry. Good words of advice from Jesus. But how does that relate to the creation story? So we'll see. So I must admit, when I saw the set readings for today, you know, I don't choose the readings, we're in a lectionary. When I saw that the first reading was this story of creation and this constant refrain, it is good, it is good, it is very good. And then reading and seeing the horrific news coming out of Turkey and Syria, you kind of, wow, it is good? ? Is it so good? And this is a core question for our belief, really is, if we take our faith seriously. How do we square this? So at times over the history of the church, Christians have denied that it is good, that the world is good. Most famously, early on in church history, a man called Marcion, way back in the 2nd century, Marcion said, well, we look at the world, it's not good. It ain't good. It's corrupt, it's evil. And Marcion even went as far as to say, well, the world could not possibly have been created by God. It must have been created by something else, some evil force. A lesser God made the world, not God. Because look at it, it's not good. It's so bad, Marcion said. Well, the church thought long and hard about this and said, no, Marcion, you're wrong. You're wrong. It is good. And every now and then, you know, you see this, Christians will emphasize the corruption of humankind. So the theology of the original sin theology, that we are all born bad, and that we are born even predestined to go to hell. Every child that is born is going to hell because they are irredeemably wicked. And even this that very cruel belief, cruel dogma of the church, that babies that are not baptized are going to hell, or sometimes softened it a little bit but not very successfully, saying babies not baptized are going into limbo, which is a kind of existence neither hell nor heaven. What an incredibly insensitive idea. Try telling that to a mother that's just lost her baby. See what reaction we get. Nowadays, thankfully, thank God, most mainstream churches soften that. And we prefer not to talk about original sin, but we would focus on original blessing. And we would emphasize that everyone has innate value, that it is loved unconditionally by God. But what about natural disasters, earthquakes, tsunamis, and other horrible, horrible things we see every now and then? Well, these are difficult. These are difficult. If you have an answer to these, let me know. You know, in some ways, when we hear about famines and wars, even maybe diseases, we can to a certain extent point the finger at human activity, right? We can see the human activity behind it, human greed and selfishness. But an earthquake, there's only one person to blame if you want somebody to blame, right? The creator of that earthquake. So, do we blame God? And if we do, what does that mean and where does it take us? For me personally, I'm not into blame. I'm not that kind of person. It's not how I'm made. I'm not inclined to look for blame. But I am interested in meaning. I'm interested in the meaning. And for me, the question is the cosmos benign? Is it a friendly place or not? Is there meaning to all of this that we observe or not? Is this that we observe, and I mean observe like with telescopes and all that other stuff, as well as what we observe with our eyes and as we go, we travel and so forth, is it just a random structure of molecules, gases, elements thrown together in a sort of accidental way? Is that what it is? Is life just a freak accident? And if it is an accident, can it still have meaning? The truth is, we don't know. We don't know. But we can take a leap of faith. Yes, the cosmos looks pretty bleak at times, pretty random. And yes, for sure, it's full of incredibly violent forces. One of the things we observe in our generations is that a lot of matter, a lot of the stuff that we're made of, started with these unbelievably incredible explosions of stars. It's hard to get your head around this. But, you know, it's that cliche about us being made of stardust, there's truth to that. We are here because of that devastating violence at the heart of the cosmos. And yes, for sure, for what we know about our planet's long history, it's replete with incredible extremes of violence. Volcanic eruptions, wild earthquakes, random meteors banging into the planet, and as far as we know, there have been at least 5 mass extinctions of species over the long history of this planet. And yes, every now and then, untold death and destruction is wrought by a natural disaster, as we saw in this last week. And frankly, it's terrifying. But still, despite this, still, I can believe that life is good. And although we know we're here for quite a relatively short time, and we know our futures are uncertain, still I can believe that my life and your life has purpose. And even though I may live through loss, hunger, disease, disaster, I still will hold fast to that belief. That's faith. That's what faith is. Christianity is an incarnational faith. Incarnate meaning in the flesh. We don't have philosophical answers to the violence of the world, to suffering, to evil. But we have faith that God is present within the messiness of life. That's where God is. The second reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, incredible. Paul says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pangs until now, labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And then he talks about hope. For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. When the writer of the first creation story in Genesis imagines God looking at creation and says, it is good, it is good, it is very good, that writer is saying, there is hope. There's hope. Telling us to have hope. It may all be beyond our comprehension. And sometimes things are unfair. And sometimes situations are cruel. But we have a choice. We can despair. We can become violent ourselves. We can be selfish and self-centered. Or we can take a leap of faith. And despite all this, I will love, I will care, and I will not give up hope. So that's the connection with the earthquake, the connection between the creation story and why worry, don't worry. But just step back, let's step back a little bit and think about this creation, the first creation story. So I'm going to be bold and lay my cards on the table. And for me, this is a myth. Now, I respect that other people might have other views about the first creation story. But for me, it's a story. Now, some people will say, well, it's kind of similar to what we understand about evolution. Well, kind of. You know, the creation of light, and then a couple of days later, the sun is made. Hang on a bit. And then I think the birds are made before the animals. So it's not very evolutionary. And evolution isn't about stages. Evolution is a constant process of change and development from one common origin. And it's going on now. It's not like it's finished. It continues. I think for me, the story, the Genesis story, and what we observe in evolution, these two things are absolutely compatible. There's no worry about this. Science is about observation. That's all it is. Science is just observation. We look and we try to understand what's going on. Trying to undo science is a bit like pretending not to see, I think. Oh, I don't see that. I don't want to look in that telescope. No, I don't see it. That's the world of science. Religion is a different world. Yes, we're interested in observation, and we listen to what, you know, we take into account what we see, of course. But religion is always about meaning. Religion is always about purpose. And ancient people found meaning in stories. They found meaning in stories. They understood that the point of a good story was what it said. What does it say? What does it say about the world, existence, life, relationships, the government, whoever it might be? That's the point of a story. There are two creation stories in Genesis, and they're quite different. There's the one we heard this morning, a very long one, and then the equally well-known story of Adam and Eve. It's a different creation story. They're both saying different things, but they're both saying meaningful things about life. First story we heard this morning is saying it's good, it's all good, it's very good. The Adam and Eve story is saying, well, it ain't that good, there's something wrong with it. And actually the Adam and Eve story is probably older than the story we had this morning. Jesus says, don't worry, do not worry. Was Jesus worry free? He had many challenges. We know he prayed a lot, constantly in Mark's gospel. He does something, he heals the sick, he teaches the disciples, and then he withdraws. He goes to a lonely place to pray. I'm sure that was his way of dealing with all the challenges he faced. And at the end of his life in Luke's gospel, what does Jesus pray on the cross? Into your hands I commend my spirit. That's the prayer to say when we are anxious. Into your hands I commend my life, my family, my work, this particular situation, my fears, my hopes. So why do we worry? Why do we worry? Well, I guess we worry because we're fearful. We're afraid. We have dreads. We feel perhaps a bit overwhelmed. We can't cope. We're not sure we can do whatever it is we're asked to do. We're not sure what decision to take. We doubt our ability. We feel powerless. I listen to many people with anxieties, with worries, and nearly always, not always, but nearly always, once they reflect, they see that their anxiety arises from a deeper state of unease. For example, this is just an example, I might worry about the next sermon, I might worry about this sermon, right? Why am I worried? Well, I might be thinking, what will you all think of this sermon? Will you like it or not? And why am I bothered about that? Well, maybe I'm not sure how liked I am or accepted, perhaps, I might be. Or maybe I feel at heart that actually I'm not very good at this, and one day you'll all find out that how useless I am at it once you all know, and I'll be embarrassed. Or maybe actually I doubt whether anybody ever really loved me and liked me. Or maybe I feel that really I'm of no value. Or maybe I might feel that my existence is pretty useless and worthless. I don't always think like that. But these are some of the sad underlying core negative beliefs that lie below our worries, below our anxiety. So what's the connection with the first reading? Well, as I said, the first reading is making this bold claim that it's all good, despite what we see. And yes, there's two aspects to that. As I said, we can take that leap of faith and believe that, yes, the universe is friendly. It's moving in a direction. It has meaning. And the meaning is to bring goodness into life. Everything is alive with God's Spirit. We are all, in a sense, a manifestation of God's love and goodness. And at our deepest level, God is with us. But also, we can take another leap of faith, and we can believe that you and I are also good. Male and female, he made them, and they were very good. When we doubt ourselves, when we feel anxious that we can't cope, or that we're just putting on a show, but inside we just feel rubbish, or when we doubt anyone can truly love us unconditionally, that somehow we have to win people's approval, when we have all those deep existential worries, we can relax. We can let them go. For the scriptures tell us the truth. We are good. We are loved. We are valuable. We are worthwhile. We are useful. We are called. We have a purpose. And that's the connection between when Jesus is talking about worry and the creation story. That's why Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. That's why. Because Jesus wants us to remember the creation story, that we are good. Jesus is affirming your value, your goodness, your place within creation. If you doubt yourselves, if you become anxious, reflect, meditate on creation and your place within it. Look deep and be aware of yourself as part of God's amazing creation, and feel blessed. For though we may tremble in fear at the violence, the violent forces at the core of our planet, we can also marvel at life. The wonder of the variety of life, the fragility of life, and most of all, wonder at the gift of life. And it is very good. Amen.